So we're going to finish Philippians chapter 4 today. We're finishing it today. Now we've only got a couple of weeks left up until Christmas time, so I'm proposing next week to do temptation. How do we cope with temptation in our life? Believe it or not, that's not what the Bible says. And then the week after that, supposing a believer, after they're a believer, actually yields to temptation and sins, what happens then? What happens then? How do we get back? So the next week will be temptation, what it is, how to deal with it. And the week after that, we're going to do sin. What happens if we sin, and how do we recover after we sin? So that's what we'll do for the next 2 weeks. And I think that'll probably finish us off, if you see what I mean. It'll probably finish us off before Christmas time. And then hopefully after Christmas time, these DVDs of Peter Brandon will be here, and we can start with some real Bible teaching after the new year, something like that. Okay, so that's the plan over the next couple of weeks. So let's go to Philippians 4. We're going to read the last few verses again, and we're going to look just a little bit more about this gift that Paul received, and the last little bit about Solomon. Verse number 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye have communicated with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. Now that word greet is exactly the same word. Salute. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Chapter number 4, the title we put over chapter number 4 is Leaning on Christ. In times of difficulty, in times of trial that Paul had, he was leaning on Christ. And we've divided the chapter up like this. We remember that at the beginning there was the bit about Eudes and Syntyche. Be of the same mind. Think the same things. No disputes. If we have disputes amongst brothers and sisters, we must sort them out as early as possible. And that doesn't always mean we agree on everything. But we have to endeavour and we have to strive to keep a unity amongst us and to eliminate any disputes. And Eudes and Syntyche had to be of the same mind. The second little thing, remember, was have a settled mind. Anxiety. Anxiety is a huge problem when it comes into the life of a believer. And once you get gripped with anxiety, you know, it's one of those spirals that you get into, that once you get anxious, you get more anxious, and you get more anxious, and you get more anxious, and you get more anxious. And Paul says, listen, as Christians, we have a remedy for anxiety. We have a resource. Of a way for dealing with anxiety. And he says, be anxious about nothing. And then he gives us three little helps One of the things that will stop us being anxious is if we rejoice. One of the things that will stop us being anxious is if we bow our will to the will of God and don't just try and get our own way all the time. And what the third one was, in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. I remember my granny said, worry about nothing, pray about everything, she said. My granny was great at that. I have not inherited that, I have to confess that to you. But she was a great contentment, she had a great mind, a settled mind. Number three, have a sound mind. Don't get distracted. I remember the things that we had to think about, because if we take rubbish in, we'll give rubbish out. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What we think is what we are. And so if we want to be spiritual and holy and profitable and godly, we have to think about spiritual and holy and profitable things. And you can't hold two thoughts in your mind at the one time. I know women multitask, I know that, and men can't, but you can't hold two thoughts in your mind at the one time. So if you're thinking about something that's wrong, what do? You don't grit your teeth and try and resist it. What you do is you immediately put your mind on something that's good. Replace it. Don't fight it. Replace it with something that's good. And remember that list of things, whatsoever things are. And remember that great list of eight characteristics. Two things we said was good to think about. Those eight characteristics were found in one place and one person, remember? Found in the Bible and found in the Lord Jesus. So if we want good food for our mind, it's the Lord Jesus through his word. Last week, we looked at this gift that Paul had received and the sacrifice that the Philippians had made, and it's called that later on in the chapter, a sacrifice well-pleasing, an odour acceptable unto God. And he says, listen, it's a good thing for Christians to give. And we'll just say one or two more things about that just now. And then right at the end, he says, be saluting. Have a mind that doesn't discriminate. Salute means greet every saint which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, don't be picky. And don't be partisan. And don't be schismatic. They're big words. But it basically means, don't just keep yourself to yourself and forget about other Christians. Have a heart that's big enough for every Christian, every person who's a saint in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the little section that we were looking at from verse 10 to 20 last week was the section about giving a sacrificial mind, having your mind given a gift. And this passage is thanks for a gift that they sent to the Philippians, sent a gift to Paul when he was in prison. And it could have been money. I think it's likely to have been money. But it could have been other things. You know, gifts don't just... Some that's good at giving and some that's good at receiving. That's right. And some that are bad at giving and some that are bad at receiving. That's right. Gifts can be anything. You can send gifts in lots of different ways. You don't just have to send money. You can send, you know, physical support, like to missionaries. You can send out things that will help them, like, you know, things that, you know, generators and medical supplies and all that sort of thing. And basically, Paul, in this last little section, is saying, thank you for the gift I've got. And we said last week, just quickly, didn't we, that the Lord is Jehovah Jireh, God provides, and God always provides for his people. And we looked at a little bit of history. God will supply all your needs. That's later on in this passage. And the Lord Jesus said about it in Matthew chapter 5 when he was talking, or Matthew chapter 6 when he was on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, your Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I was corrected at the end of the Bible class last week because I missed out this, and his righteousness. We've got to always remember God is a righteous God. The character of God is very important. So we're not just seeking something that will further his kingdom. We've got to do it in a righteous and honouring way to God. We've got to seek his righteousness. We've got to be righteous in all our dealings. And then all these things will be added unto you. The material things of our needs are really, you know, easy for God. Easy for God to do that. He owns the cattle on the thousand hills. the wealth in every mind, we sometimes sing. And that's from the psalm that says, you know, the cattle on a thousand hills are his. The gold and the silver in the mines are his. And you're his children. He's going to, you know, provide for you. And we saw that God is always Jehovah Jireh. And how many times in the Old Testament does God call himself Jehovah something? 14 times. Like Jehovah Shammah, God is there. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. Jehovah Tsidkenu, God my righteousness. Anybody else get any, you know? Anyone? Sorry? Jehovah Rupi, which is? The Lord that healeth thee. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace. Jehovah, is it Rohai? Rohi, what's that one? Lord my shepherd, that's right. And the Lord, in his very name, is assuring us that he's going to care for us and look after us. So, we talked about giving and receiving, people that were good givers, people that were good receivers, and then we talked about, we just parked the car last week and just talked about giving for a wee while, that we are, as Christians, we have to give to the saints. If we have needy saints, we give to them. In the Acts of the Apostles, one of the first little disputes they had was because there was some widows needed look after. And somebody said it's their responsibility and it's our responsibility. So they had to have a meeting to decide whose responsibility it was. And it was everybody's responsibility. Everybody's responsibility. So we have to give to the saints and we have to give to the service. Come on now, I'm trying to educate you. Who was that? Isaac Hume, no, that's not Isaac Hume. That's David Livingstone. David Livingstone. And we talked about, you know, as every man, we were talking about the tithe of the Old Testament, how that it was, you know, legislated what they should give in the Old Testament. But it's not legislated for us. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Well, here it comes. We need you, not another collection. We need to give some, you know. And so giving is lots of things. And giving to the saints as well. Some of the things I told you is about the tsunami. But, you know, there's been a missionary class in this assembly for how many years? Donkey's years. How many years? Right. So there's been a missionary class here. And all over the place there are missionary classes where sisters, predominantly, who seem to be better at this than the men, to be quite honest, have an exercise to give to the saints, to help saints and missionaries, and it's a lovely exercise from the scripture. But we've not just to give to the saints, they gave themselves to the Lord. I remember we talked about laying aside on the first day of the week. But giving to the servants of the Lord, giving to the servants of the Lord, helping those who have given up full time, because the Bible says that the Lord has ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. So, and remember we looked at, we should all be preaching the gospel, but there are times when God calls somebody to leave the nets, leave the boats, leave the father, leave everything and just serve him. And it's then our responsibility as Christians to help and encourage and support these people in the work of the Lord. So that's what we looked at. So just quickly now, we're going to go down through these verses in Philippians 4 and see specifically what Paul thought about their gift. They sent him a gift, and here's what Paul said about their gift. In verse number 10, we're going to see this. The Philippians had a concern for Paul. I rejoice greatly that now at last, look at these words, your care for me hath flourished again, wherein also you were careful, but you lacked opportunity. The word flourish means, well, if a plant is flourishing, what does it mean? I mean, it's full, isn't it? It's full, it's healthy, it's not something meagre. It's not just putting a wee shoot above the ground or maybe one flower. But flourish means abundant, doesn't it? It means plenty. And what we learn is that these Christians were given not just grudgingly, but they're doing what the Bible says. They're letting their giving flourish. They're known to be giving people. They've got a real concern to give to those who are in need. So folks, we need to ask ourselves, is that the type of heart we have? Is that the type of heart we have? The Lord has prospered us in the West, folks, in an amazing way. In an amazing way. And it's only really when you go to other places and you see where believers are. It's often material things are an enemy of spirituality rather than a help to spirituality. Often prosperity, material prosperity, is a hindrance to our spiritual growth rather than a help. And if the Lord has given us anything to give, we're only given what He's given to us in the first place anyway. So you take the church of Laodicea. Said, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And the Lord said, I'm afraid actually you're poor and you're blind. Because they had become so obsessed with... And so these Philippians, their heart was to say, look, we may not have much, but we've got a concern for those that don't have as much as us. So have we got a concern, like the Philippians' concern? Can we see a need around us? And when we see a need around us, are we moved to meet that need? That's a really important thing. Verse number 11. Paul's contentment. Paul has received this gift from them, and he says this in verse 11. Now, I'm thanking you for the gift, and I'm glad you've given me, but I'm not speaking because I'm sitting here dwelling on the fact that I need you to send me a gift. He says, actually, to be quite honest, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, the word content is made up of two words in the Greek, and it means self-sufficient. It means I've learned, not that I'm going to meet my needs, but I've learned that whatever the situation the Lord has given me, He's given me enough to be sufficient. And we'll see that in a little minute as well. But He says this, I have learned. I have learned. Now, who learned calculus? Me. How long did it take you? Took me ages, I still can't differentiate. You're still struggling. Integration, I could even understand why you had to differentiate, but I could never understand why you had to integrate. Why did you do it one way if you had to do it the other way? I could never figure that out. But never mind. Anyway, but you see, don't try and explain it to me, Bartholomew, it's alright. But see, what happens is, there are things that you have to learn. There are things that you have to learn, and it takes a process of time to learn them. And so, folks, we have to learn over a process of time, as God takes us through difficult circumstances, to be content. To rest, not in our circumstances, but to rest in Him. Because Paul says in the next verse, he says, here's the reason I'm content. He says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. He's saying, listen, I know what it's like to have nothing in my pocket and really struggle. And I also know what it's like to have plenty and enough to spare so that I can give to other people. I've been at both ends of the spectrum. I've been right down and I've been right up. I've had nothing and I've had a lot. And he says, I've learned through that. Look what he says, what he's learned through that. I am instructed, or I have learned the secret. That's what it means. That word instructed means you've been initiated into the mystery of something. So it's like, I don't know, bad example, I know, but if you join the Masons, you have to be initiated in and told the secrets, don't you? You go through a process and you roll up your trouser legs and you do all that sort of thing. But you're brought into the secret. He says this, I have been brought into this secret. It's been revealed to me, this wonderful truth, how to be full and to be hungry, how to abound and to suffer need. He says, listen, whether it's past, present or future, look what he says in verse number 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Here's what he's learned the secret of. He's learned the secret that it's Christ that keeps pouring His strength into him. He's learned that he can't do it. He's learned that he needs the Lord. So whether he's full, or he's hungry, or whether he's rich, or he's poor, he's learned this. Whether it's good or bad, the strength that he needs, he can only get it from the Lord. And this word strengthening, it's this. He keeps on pouring His strength into me. That's what he says. I have learned, and I can do all things through Christ, which keeps on pouring his strength into me. He's saying this. There's no end to his resources. Now, here's another thing. We need to be careful with this verse, because Christians can pluck out this verse right out of the context, and it says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, so I can do anything if I do it in the name of Christ. So they go and they, I don't know, they do stupid things. Like, okay, I'll... Sorry? Stand in front of a line. Okay, suppose I went to Edinburgh Zoo, good example, and I went in Edinburgh Zoo, and I said, the Lord can do all, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And so I stood in the lion's den, what would happen? I'd get eaten alive. This is not a recipe for just stupidity and doing it. What it is Paul's saying that when he's in the will of the Lord, and when he's seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, when he's serving the Lord, whatever comes across his path, he can do all of those things through Christ that strengthens him. That's what he's saying. He's not just saying you can pluck that out of the air and you can jump off a bridge and say, I can jump off a Tyne bridge and survive because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I mean, that's nonsense. What he's saying is, I'm serving the Lord, I'm in the will of the Lord, and whether I find myself in prison or the palace, whether I find myself hungry or full, whether I find myself, whatever circumstance I'm in it because of the Lord. And if I'm in it because of the Lord, I can do it because he keeps pouring his strength into me. So folks, this is not a blank check to go and live your life the way you like and expect the Lord to look after you. It's not that. So he says he gets confidence for himself. Verse 14. The Philippians commendation, he says this, notwithstanding, you have done well that you did communicate with my affliction. Communicate, we think communicate is speaking to each other, don't we? Communicate in this sense means to pass on a gift to somebody. Thank you for your communication means thank you for your gift. And he commends them for it. And he commends them for it in verse 14 and verse 15, not just because they've done it once, but because they've been consistent in what they've been doing. Now, ye Philippians knew also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent, look at it, once and again to my necessity. So these Philippians have got a concern, but they've got a consistent concern. They're not just somebody that decides at Christmas time, okay, it's Christmas, let's just have a collection for somebody. No. These are Christians who are watching all the time, concerned all the time, and are consistent to help and support and give what they can all the time. So he's looking not just at their giving, he's looking at the consistency of their giving. He appreciates the fact that they've looked after them not just once but many times. Now folks, you know what we are? As Christians, we are great at doing something once and then forgetting about it. Aren't we really? Doesn't just need to be given, it can be anything. We do something and we start it, or we do it and then we just forget about it for another year or so. The great virtue of Christianity is consistency. Acts 2, 41 and 42. And they continued steadfastly. So, as Christians, it's easy to blow hot and cold, isn't it? I mean, I blow hot and cold all the time. You just need to live with me for 5 minutes to know that. But as Christians, we mustn't blow hot and cold. We must be consistent. And when it comes to giving, that's one of the things that Paul appreciated. These were Christians that didn't just send to him once. They sent time and time and time again. And it's good for us folks as Christians to think of missionaries or people who serve the Lord and to sort of take them to our heart, not just once, but consistently. You know, Christians that you... missionaries that you can communicate with on a regular basis, because it helps them and it helps you pray for them, doesn't it? You know, if you're knowing what's happening, not from 1 year to the next year, if you're knowing regularly what's happening, you can pray for those people much better. So the Philippians' consistency. Verse number 17, here's Paul's craving. Now, I'm glad you've sent me a gift, not because I desire or my craving is for a gift. Here's what I desire. Paul's craving is not that he should be looked after and not that he should have enough money. His craving is that his brothers and sisters might get eternal fruit for what they've done. He's more interested in how it's going to benefit them than how it's going to benefit him. He's saying, look, what's going to happen now is you're going to have fruit to your account. You're sending me a gift. It's going to help me and survive here. But you know what it's going to do? It's going to lay up for you eternal fruit. Isn't that what the Lord was talking about again in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Now the thing about fruit is this, it doesn't happen instantaneously, does it? You plant, you've got to wait for the right season to come to get the fruit, haven't you? So this is this nonsense. Sorry, Andrew. For as much as you have done it to the least of these, you have done it unto me. So they are given to Paul, and they're really given to the Lord, aren't they? You know, that's what we were talking about earlier on. But it's going to yield for them fruit. So this nonsense, sow $100 and you'll reap $1,000 before the end of the year, what a lot of nonsense. The Lord, Paul's talking here about spiritual fruit that will abound to your account. Spiritual blessing. And that's what he says. He says, my craving is not for myself, but for you. And then he says, in verse number 18, you know what you've done? You've not just given me a gift. This is really an act of consecration and worship to the Lord. Do you realise that? He says, look, I've received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Now look at this language. An odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. So Paul was pleased with their giving. But in the end, folks, they weren't actually given to Paul. Do you know who they were given to? They were given to the Lord. Their giving to the saints and giving to the servants was a consecrated act of worship on their behalf. And when the Lord saw them do that, the Lord loves a cheerful giver, they were given out a pure heart, that was not just a horizontal blessing. Do you know what that was? That was a vertical blessing. That was the Lord taking pleasure in that. He looked down and he was well pleased with what they did. So here's the thing. If you decide to give to the work of the Lord, or give to a servant of the Lord, or give to a saint, do you know who you're going to please? You're going to please the Lord. The Lord's going to see that. Now, you know where we are. You go way back to the Gospels and you think of the Lord and you think of those men that were bringing money into the temple and just throwing it into the... You know, remember in the temple, and then a woman came along and she put in two mites. Now, it's not just what she gave. It was how she gave it that mattered. It doesn't say when the Lord saw what she gave. Do you know what it says? When the Lord saw how she gave. See, these other men, they were coming in with their money and they were wanting everybody to see that they were putting a big lot, and they were doing it for themselves, really, weren't they? But when she came in, I don't know if it's in the language, but I can almost see her coming in very shyly and hoping that nobody sees her when she puts in her two penny worth, because she's only putting in what she's got and she's putting it in for the Lord. And if ever nobody else saw it, the Lord saw it, and he said when he saw how she gave, she gave more than everybody else. Absolutely right. So these Philippians are given, and Paul's not saying, what do you mean you only sent me £5? You know, think you could have, no, he's saying this, listen, the value doesn't matter. You've given it a full heart for the Lord. You've given it a full heart for the Lord. So the Lord doesn't say, the Lord doesn't measure a gift by the monetary value in it. He measures the gift by the amount of consecration that's in it for himself. And then, in verse number 19, he says, listen, I've got confidence. You've supplied my needs, but my God, who's looking after me, who's supplying my needs, my God, look what he says, shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So folks, we need to learn to give. We need to learn to give. Just finally, right at the end he says, have a salute in mind. Salute every saint which is in Christ Jesus. Have a big heart for all the Christians. I was going to say a lot about this. But you know, he says, they that are of Caesar, all the saints salute you, chiefly they which are of Caesar's household. that really means the slaves and see what see. He says, listen, some of the slaves here are sending greetings to you. You've never met them, but you know what? Because you're a believer and they're a believer, they love you just the same. And I'm thinking about Eudes and Syntyche, the two women that were arguing. Salute every saint which is in Christ Jesus. And what about the poor saints? Salute every saint which is in Christ Jesus. You see, that word salute means to draw to oneself. You could call it embrace. Have a big heart for every Christian. And it says this, every saint which is in Christ Jesus. We need to be awful careful because there's lots of people who say they're Christians and they're not. But we should be saluting Christians. We should be seeking out Christians. Do you know what it's like? I don't know about you, but if I see anybody in a restaurant giving thanks for their food, very rare. But what do you do when that happens? I go straight over to them and I think, you know, these are Christians, aren't they? Christians draw you to themselves. They draw, don't they? I mean, you see, they might not go to the same place as you, and they might not even practice the same practice to you, but they're the Lord's, and you're saluting them, aren't you? You get drawn to them. Or if you hear, I remember being in Costa's Coffee in Durham. Remember this, Janet? And there was two students beside us, and they were talking away, and I looked over, and these two boys, and in Costa's Coffee, they've got their Bible open, and they're discussing the scriptures. So what do you do? You don't say, oh, these weird Christians, I'm not like, I wouldn't... Your heart's drawn to them, isn't it? And you salute them in Christ Jesus. So, folks, Philippians is finished. Loving Christ, learning Christ, looking for Christ, and leaning Christ. I must decrease. He must increase. That in all things, he should have the preeminence. Let's pray. Father, we bless thee again for thy kindness to us. We thank thee for the lessons we've learned, and now, under the hand of the Lord, by thy Spirit, we seek the grace and strength to make them real in our life. Help us, Lord, not to be what we've always been, but to be more yielded, more willing, more like thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We commit our way to thee now and seek thy blessing now in the Saviour's name. Amen.